Scripture reading is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. It contains a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Now we read the word of God as follows then. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. You return men to dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and may fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, as for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I proclaim to you the word of God as we find in Ecclesiastes 3, the verses 1 through 15. Ecclesiastes 3, the verses 1 through 15. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to men. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a moment we will have reached the finish line of the year of our Lord and Savior 2017. A definite period of history. The time period of January the 1st to December the 31st has come to an end, has been fulfilled. Now that's quite something. Another historical period has gone and never to return. Surely that is something that calls for reflection, for self-examination. The question is, what did we do in this period? On what did we spend our time? Here we thought that we were Lord and Master of our time, thought that we could spend it exactly the way we saw fit, to do this or to do that. But, beloved, when we reflect on this, do so as Christians, we know that we all have to give account. If we give account of all what we did to the King of the ages, the Lord of history, the creator of all those periods, including the periods which covers the year 2017. For don't we know from the mouth of our Savior that the times and dates are in the hand of our Heavenly Father? And now we have the author of Ecclesiastes, have the preacher in our text, who confronts us with the purpose and profit of all those times and dates. In the name of the Lord of heaven, he takes the floor, climbs the pulpit, to make it clear that man, in the changing of the years, of all those historical periods, is only able to live if he continuously lives of every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord God, from a self-revelation, from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. And that's how we then, at the transition from the old to the new year, set ourselves to listen to the advice of this preacher of God, of how to conduct ourselves in the changing of the years, by taking note of the fact that, first of all, the times are in God's hand, and that the times are to be used in the service of God, and that the times are to be enjoyed as a gift from God. So, beloved, what motivates the preacher to speak about circumstances and events of times and periods in the way he does? Well, that's a view of the theme of this book. Meaningless. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. That's what he wrote in chapter 1, verse 2. And in chapter 1, verse 3, he asked, what does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Pretty well the same question as we find it in our chapter, verse 9. What does the worker gain from his toil? Indeed, what does man end up with after all his work, and what does he gain of that transitoriness in life in view of that never-ending coming and going? The 1 year goes, the other comes, the one generation leaves, and the other arrives. Everyone and everything has so its hour, its predetermined time. There's a time to be born, it is a time to die. A person comes and a person goes. There is no stopping to it. And that's how the preacher uses examples from everyday life to illustrate the transitoriness, the fleetingness of all that man encounters in the few days allotted to him under the sun. Indeed, he could have easily multiplied his illustrations, but he leaves it at these 7 verses, no doubt showing with this number that he believes that all those human events take place according to God's sovereign plan. And that's how the preacher shows that there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. And that's how it begins with that first, there is a time to be born and a time to die. He only points to the beginning and the end of life. But in view of his theme, he does so to show that there is indeed that life, but how soon is it already gone again? And therefore, what purpose, what profit, what gain is there to have this life squeezed in between these two poles, birth and death? What is the meaning of that short time frame between those two? Doesn't it all seem meaningless? And that same transience you'll find with the whole of human life. Everything has so its own time period and is also predetermined. That's how there is also a time to plant and a time to uproot. As you know, planting and seeding is what a man does to gain a harvest, produce. But every harvest too is bound to its own particular time frame. Every crop has its own time of picking. Between planting and harvesting lies a specific time. It's a wondrous thing, actually. When spring is late and we wonder what will become of the harvest, we see how nature has a way of catching up and that the harvest is there at the usual time. And so we ask, who determines that all things come to pass this way? There is a time to kill, and there is a time to heal. Indeed, there can be times that there is the call to heal, to put to death, for example, in times of war. But a man is hardly wounded or everything is done to save his life. How senseless is it all? What does war really gain? What is the use in the face of that inevitable death to go all out to restore man's life and health, which also has again its own time frame? There's also the time to tear down and a time to build. There comes an end to the age of a house, for everything out of the dust comes to an end. Indeed, people build, but not as an end in itself, but for a specific purpose. And such building has again its own time frame. There is a deadline to meet. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to love, and a time to hate. For all of it, man needs time, which time can seem endless to some, or to others passes by like a wink of the eye. Even though true love needs time to grow, to blossom, yet all too easily it can be exchanged for hate. There's a time to celebrate, and there's a time to mourn, to grieve. And neither one can be prolonged. Also, grief has to come to an end, for there is more to do in life. To everything comes an end. After all, there are boundaries, there are limits. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, without a doubt. The preacher thinks here of the Palestinian fields, where such activity is the order of the day. You either take time out of the field to save your farm implements, or you can look for them in order to build walls around those fields. There's also a time to search and a time to give up. Now, you put every effort in searching someone or something, but then there comes a time to face the truth of not finding what is being terribly missed. For time moves on. Life has to move on. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. There's a time to tear your clothes in grief and a time to sew it all together again. Or you can also say there is a time your clothes wear out and a time to mend them or to replace them. And that's how in time there comes an end to all the material things with which we surround ourselves. And then there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. We hope to gain something with either one. You have to know when and how to speak. It's actually a wondrous thing to know both, to know that either it is the time or it is not the time. Or it is or is not the right time. Oftentimes, a person first has to learn to listen before he speaks, to make sure that what he says is edifying, is upbuilding. And that's how there is a time for everything. And that's how every one of us can add his own things to this long list of this preacher of God. For our human life contains hundreds and one facets. It's tremendously varied. And yet, every part of it is subject to time, to the succession of moments, whether it concerns one's work at home, at school, church, consistory, or at the home, or family visits. There is an end to it all. And there has to be an end to it all. But now, beloved, there is that mystery above and beyond us men. The mystery that this time element is not a matter of man's will and way. It's not for us to determine. The mysterious part of it all is that everything is so predetermined, designed, designated, and decreed. And yet there are also all those unexpected factors in every event. Seemingly things are always the same, and yet they also greatly vary. You can see that in the examples the preacher has given here. The time of healing is not the same for everyone. The same applies to the time to build, and the same counts for the one who awaits a child. There are unknown factors to them all. And the question is, from where are those unknown factors? How do they come to pass? What's behind them? Or better, beloved, who is behind them? The preacher here is an appointed and a wise man of God. He sees the Lord in it all. It is He who has made everything beautiful in its time. And that's how the whole of life turns around, and ought to turn around, what God has done from beginning to end. Man has nothing in his own power. Everything he has and has is the Lord's. Life is a gift of the Lord, and therefore is and will be subject to his sovereign will. And it is the Lord our God who determines what will happen, and so it happens. And that's how everything has its own time. And to him who believes this, acknowledges this, life can still be seen as an harmonious whole. That's how we also receive light, insight in the work that we are called to do. Receive an answer to the question of verse 9, what does a worker gain from all its toil? So we are at the end of the year of our Lord 2017. Also, this period has been predetermined by the Lord our God. And so we ask, what is the result of this year? Well, it was filled with many cares, many concerns, with many challenges and obstacles. And we realize that our own work amidst all was mere piece work. In many ways, work done by halves, work which leaves so much to be desired still. And we ask, what has and what will it gain us? And yet, beloved, we confess also today that even though we are unable to fathom, to understand what our God has done from beginning to the end of this year, we nevertheless cannot but believe and conclude that God has made everything well in its time, has done everything right, and thus has made all things wonderfully succeed again. Everything that came to pass at the right time. Everything took place the way it should. God's work is finished perfectly. It's completely done with respect to the year 2017. Nothing can be added or taken away. That's how the psalmist cries out, my times, O Lord, are in your hand. Yeah, that's what the poet of Psalm 31 confesses. And that's how this whole year, with its 1,001 events, that whole life with 1,001 facets, has gone by, has passed away. And so we believe and say, it has gone exactly the way it should. Everything that came to pass in accordance with God's sovereign counsel and will. And so we conclude and confess, it was indeed your time, O Lord of the times, O King of the ages. Well, that in the first place, but the preacher has still more to say to us. The mystery of God's sovereign presence in all times and in all the things we encounter has to be received by faith. The faith that the whole wide world is in His hand. And with that in mind, the preacher and we with him pursue that question, what does the worker gain from all his toil? Well, the preacher makes clear that he has learned to understand this, that he indeed has been able to search out that all-important matter. The times he knows, all those succession of moments and periods have been given for man to work in, has been given to man to serve his God and Maker. And therefore the time that man has to spend his life on the sun, under the sun will always remain, will always have to remain subject to that overall mandate that God has given man back in paradise. Indeed, that mandate constitutes a tall order, a difficult assignment, at times a real burden, as you know. It will remain a matter of toiling. It's far from easy. No wonder in view of what the preacher had to conclude in verse 11, God has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom, they cannot understand what God has done from beginning to end. Well, you should know that that word eternity is not meant the time, the life hereafter, but the God-given ability for a man to search out the times, the past and the present, as well as thoughts about the future. The ability to see the connotations and the connections between the events that have and that are and will be taking place. God has given us man the ability to sense, to understand the purpose of history. Its overall purpose. That is, yeah, only the sum of it. For let us not imagine that our ability to rise above and to reflect on times and circumstances will ever be more than piecework on our part. We should not ever think that we are able to check out or to figure out the Lord God Almighty, the King of the ages, neither the beginning nor the end of God's eternal counsel and will has been revealed. Still in faith we are able to conclude that He made everything well in its times. With our God it's always a finished product, even though we do not see and understand the half of it yet. But then again, God is infinite and we men are finite, temporal. We are subject to time. God, our God, is above time and does in sovereign control of all times and circumstances, something we ought not to forget. We are confined to time, so we are limited. We are mere men. And yet, beloved, we also know ourselves to have been created by God and by God the Spirit, recreated through faith in Jesus Christ, in order to be again aware of our mandate, and it is to be God's image, to make Him visible in all our words and deeds. Yeah, and as His image, as the image of Christ, to keep pursuing those connotations, those connections between the times and all created things. Man, of all that has been created, is able to do so, was given the ability to do so, to see those connotations, those connections. And beloved, that's our mandate. To search out the works of the Lord our God. It's true, our knowledge will always be fragmentary. At this time and this era, in this dispensation, we will always keep, always know things in part. But in faith, nevertheless, we keep pursuing our service to God. And in the process, pursuing it is with that goal of perfection in mind. The goal is, will always call for this confession. It is God who has made everything well in its time, at the right moment. With Him, again, it's always a finished product. Nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away. And therefore, to Him, the King of the ages, the King of all men's times and circumstances, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And that's how man's service, that's all his toil and labor, his constant research of the mighty deeds of God Almighty, constitutes his gain in life. That makes up his profit in life. Again, his toil and labor is constant research of the mighty deeds of God. That makes life worth living. Indeed, natural men, as you know, think in terms of what's past is past. But that's not so. The results of man's toil will not disappear, but has come into the current of time will not be washed away. The Lord will fish out, draw from it, the abiding substance of man's service, of our service. And that's how every spiritual man may know my toil and labor in the Lord, in whatever form and in whatever shape, whether healthy or handicapped, whether old or young, whether strong or weak, will never, ever be in vain. The result of all our words and deeds in the service of the King of the ages, in the service of the King of kings and Lord of lords, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, won't get lost. Yeah, not in all eternity. And beloved, when we have reached this point, we can also now take heart for the rest of what this preacher of God has to say to us, of what he was able to conclude. I know, he says, that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, as long as they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, for this is the gift of God for us men. So we're told to pursue happiness as a gift of God in a time allotted to us. The joy of also of its Paul spoke, he said, rejoice, and I say again, rejoice, and that's what he was while he was in prison. To enjoy with thanksgiving the blessing that we may know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With thanksgiving the many blessings and many good gifts that God does send our way, also by the means of our service to Him and our daily toil and labor. Of course, we understand that the spiritual counsel of the preacher has nothing to do with the banner on which the unbelievers live from day to day. Eat, drink, and be merry, for they say, what else is there to life? Life is short, so you might as well make the most of it. No, here in our text, the preacher stresses that our time is truly a gift of God, including the good times, times of joy, true joy, one that expresses appreciation and thankfulness for what the Lord provides for us, provides for His children here and now, from day to day. Despite the many hard and grievous aspects in our daily toil and labor, and despite also, despite of our many sins and shortcomings, we should never stop count our blessings. Take joy in the goodness of the Lord our God, that we may be His children, that we belong to Him, that we are safe and secure from hour to hour. And that in the meantime, we also enjoy the abundance of His goodness as it comes to us in the many good gifts of food and drink, and in the many other good things that come our way. For us Christians, beloved, for those who are in Christ, for those who have life in Christ, a life that never ends, There is always room for happiness and joy. Always room for praise and thanksgiving to God, our Maker, our Father in Jesus Christ. For every time again, He gives us what we truly need, that in His chosen way, at His chosen time, gives us what we need in order that we would revere Him, honor Him, yes, love Him with heart, soul, and mind. And now, again, after hearing the preacher with the understanding that everything God does will endure forever, that nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. And so, we are safe and secure in Father's hand in the time allotted to us and to our children in the generations. My beloved, that faith, that understanding should give us truly rest for our soul, should give us peace of mind under all circumstances, should enable us then to live before the face of God, should enable us to enjoy His good gifts under His eternal blessing in Jesus Christ. For we know again, is it not, that we can leave all our times in His fatherly hands. Yes, indeed, we leave it to Him, the King of the ages. We will leave it to Him, the changing of the years, the coming and going of the historical periods. Leave also to Him our coming and going in the period of January the 1st to December the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2018. Throughout the new year, we will continue to focus on Him as we pursue our service of Him in all our toil and labor, in all times and circumstances. He brings upon us, while constantly looking to Him to bless us, as we keep going forward to meet our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who governs the whole wide world as head of the church of which He has made us members, that He, together with the Father and the Spirit, is the one only true God, who lives and reigns forever. And therefore, to Him be honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And let us now then sing in response Psalm 90, stanzas 7 and 8.